Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Lone Wolf, great size of Giants. I'm Tom Allen. He's Mr. Matt Weber. SP Futures up 32, up again. We're cheering. The Dow Futures up 319. NASDAQ Futures up 100. Yay. Fed has got everything going their way. We're good to go. Caterpillar says that they're, first quarter sales declined 21%. This really didn't start till March. So who knows what the second quarter is going to be, but that's okay. There's money in the system. Brennan, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little, and obviously since my clients are all long, I should be cheering here this morning, but it's hard for me to, this disconnect here. Brendan, I don't like disconnects. I don't think they're healthy, and yet we've got one. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
I was going to ask you too. You know, since you're one of the big guys with all the big banks, you probably had. Are they asking you to return your money yet for your loan?
We were only 40 million. So 50 million when they're asking to give it back.
Okay, but you know, when you're pulling the strings like you are with all of your power and your clout, I figured that I keep looking for your name in the paper.
I mean, try and stay right under the clout level. It's like the city. You want to be behind the scenes guy.
Keep your head down.
Keep your head down.
You don't want to be the tallest nail. The tallest nail is the one that gets pounded.
That's exactly. You don't want to be Eddie Burke. You just want to be a poor little alderman. You know, just the strange world we are, isn't it? The the Fed has effectively bought up the bond market.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're. And so, I mean, I'm going to get the Fed balance sheet here.
So what happens? What happens when the Fed buys all the municipal bonds and then all the states go bankrupt?
You just said it. That's the. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your buddy. What's his name? McConnell. Lobbying out there that the. I guess. I don't even know where to start this one, Brennan. I never do. Because what exactly do people think is going on? I mean, you got your, you're retired, so you're talking to more people during the day than I am. And people are not, they're not dumb, but they, first of all, when I say they're not dumb, they're absolutely not dumb. And I'm not that smart. I can't believe what's going on. How does somebody who doesn't even, you know, has their education in law or has their education in medicine, or not economics? How can they have any idea of what the hell is happening in the specter, the size of it, and then what, and how incredible it really is? I mean, we're talking. I've got March 11th. The Fed balance sheet was $4.3 trillion. So that was what? Not even six weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. Today it's 6.573s, so almost 6.6. So mm-hmm. We're talking $2.3 trillion in 6 weeks. I have to believe I'm going to do something I want to do. I'm going to have to believe that if we go back, how many years the total GDP was $2.3 trillion? For God's sake!
Mm-hmm.
The
deficit right now is supposed to be more than the GDP for the year, I think.
What has been the total deficit has been for a while. But this year we're not going to be $20 trillion. I don't think. I bet we're going to be like 8 or 9. The GDP is like 20.
Okay, right? Then I misread one of the statistics.
Well,
you made a false statement there. See, this is the thing with the media and all of you guys on radio and TV and the fake news. You made an assumption that so-called educated people like lawyers and accountants and things Just because you went to law school or have an accounting degree doesn't mean you're smart.
Means you're a lawyer or an accountant.
That's right. But it doesn't mean you're a smart person necessarily. And at least 50% of them have graduated in the lower half of their class. So, you know, when you're talking about those guys, they're not all sharpest knives in the drawer. But I think where you were going with the question about McConnell and
are you trying to be bankruptcy. Are you trying to be a poor man's George Carlin?
Yes, I am.
What did George Carlin say, Matty?
About what? Said a lot of things.
Imagine how stupid the normal, you know how stupid the average American is, and imagine 50% or stupider than that.
That is a great one. Yeah.
Anyway, Brendan, real quick before we get out of that part, right now the U.S. national debt total, according to this is a debt clock, $24.7 trillion. All right, and they've got U.S. gross domestic product is at $21 trillion. So we're about $3 trillion over, but that's like total debt. But let me go back on the time machine here. If I go back to 1980,
yeah, so my statement was correct.
Well, yeah, but you made it, what you said is you made it sound like it was this year. You know.
Okay. All right.
Right now, if I go back to 1980. And some people would say those were okay times. Maybe not, actually. This was the middle of Resolution Trust. U.S. gross domestic products, $2.4 trillion. So I'm going to say that the Fed has made up more money in the last 6 weeks than the entire gross domestic product in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is spectacular, for lack of a better term. I don't know what term to use, Brendan. Manny, what can I even use? What's the English word for that? I don't even know. It's mind-boggling. So, when you have McConnell, and I think I have something here, Baird, while you talk, said something about maybe we should let states declare bankruptcy.
Yeah,
and of course he's been vilified everywhere, and yet what is every man, or not even every man, every man PhD? What do they think happens the day that you get your unemployment check from the state, or Jay gets his paycheck, and somebody goes and the thing bounces? What do they think happens, Brendan?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what they think happens, but yeah, just think about who would invest in a state or a municipality if they had the ability to go bankrupt. I mean, who would buy Chicago debt right now or Illinois debt if there was a possibility of going bankrupt? It'd be ludicrous.
But why? Here's my. I read this article a long time ago, and even you, as bright as you are, somehow or another, you're confusing. And I'm accusing you of this because it's radio, not because I think you're wrong. You're confusing bankrupt with broke. Bankrupt means that you can't avail yourself of the U.S. bankruptcy system. You can still be broke and can't pay anybody.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, no. I understand that. I understand the difference. And
well, you do, but I'm saying that even when you said it
doesn't mean you have assets. You can eliminate a lot of your debt. But who would trust? I mean, even more so than today, who would trust a city or a state if they could just walk away from their debt right now?
Well, see, here's the. But the assumption is, and let me do the history, and then you can answer the question because I don't know the answer, so I'm asking you. The history is, when you have even like a general obligation bond, the idea is that when a state can't go bankrupt, they can't avail themselves of the system. And all of a sudden, in the year is 2525, and they're broke. The idea is that the fallback position always is to increase the taxes on your population and pay the people you owe.
That's right.
Right, but the fallback position, there's assumptions to that too, that you can get blood out of a turnip. I mean, so right now, I don't know what you do if you raise property taxes on people that aren't working. I mean, what the hell? You might as well find the dead possum that I had to pick up, or Audrey picked up on a Sunday morning and beat him. I mean, I'll teach you to be dead. What is...
You can't die, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, this is so simple in execution, and yet because of the big words and because of the politicians and the bleeps we got in charge, it gets very confusing, but it's not confusing. The story is the state can't create money like we just talked about the federal government doing, so they can't just run a printing press.
That's right.
They, of course, what they can do is go to the federal government and whine and plead for money and have them turn on the printing press and give them some, the state, right? But failing that, the state has money coming in and money going out. And one of these days, I mean, right now, the money going out doesn't match the money coming in. So one of the tricks they do is they don't pay their debts for 4 months and say they don't owe. Okay, they dip to the cash basis accounting. So in even effect, they're broke, they're not, because they don't net. But the fact is, one of these days, they're going to be, quote, broke. Now, they can't avail themselves of the bankruptcy system, but if you say to every man, a state cannot go bankrupt, they hear, and again, I'm pretty good at this because I know full well when I say something, people hear something different. There can be a very spread there. If Brandon Cornan, smart man that he is, says a state cannot go bankrupt, 80% of the people listening to most shows, not this one, will say that means the state can't go broke. No, it doesn't mean that at all.
No.
So now you talk.
The whole idea about bankruptcy is being able to give people a fresh start, even though they get to keep a lot of their assets. And that means that if you lend me money, if I'm a state, and you lend me money, and at a certain point I get to keep all my buildings and all my equipment and stuff, all of my assets, all my fixed assets, but I don't have to pay you. It's not just a question of how much interest I owe you. I don't have to pay you. I get to keep all of my stuff, and you get to just say, I'm sorry, but I want to get paid. And I say, no, and here I avail myself of the Bankruptcy Act. It's a way to get a fresh start. It's a way of walking out on what you owe.
Yeah, but because there's you wing yourself. You basically take your clothes off and wing yourself at the mercy of a bankruptcy judge. The process is what you do. So if you're the owners of United Airlines 20 years ago, you come away with nothing. There's no star, right? You don't just get to keep. Somebody gets to keep all the planes, yes, but the guys who, just for instance, the United Airlines and several of these other ones, Kmart and others, General Motors, they avail themselves. Did General Motors ever declare bankruptcy? I think they did.
Yes, General Motors did. Ford did not.
And what that means is you now take all your knitting, dirty or otherwise, laundry, and you drop it in front of a bankruptcy judge. So you now enter the federal bankruptcy system. And this is what the state can't do. They can't enter the system. But they can be flat-ass broke and not be able to pay you. So now they enter the system. They enter the system and the judge, but now you throw, what they do is they form these committees, if you're big enough, and usually the debt owners get on this committee. So you're right. United Airlines gets to keep.
They get debtor in possession that they, and they may give more money and have a priority in what gets repaid. But ultimately, it's a shell game.
When you
think about it at a very, very basic level, when companies or individuals go bankrupt, they are saying to the people who have lent them money so far, whether it's in the form of shareholders or the form of stockholders, bond owners in the case of municipalities, these are the people who have lent them money to buy their assets, to get things going, to keep them afloat. And what you're saying is, to you guys in Group A, sorry, you're out of luck. All the money that you've lent us is now gone. And then because of that, here at Group B, which may be the same players, Group B, lend us more money because we no longer have this debt that we welched on. We now have a new set of debt, so you guys will get paid right now because we're starting all over again.
Well, last thing you want to do is send a bill to somebody on Tuesday who's going to declare bankruptcy on Wednesday. You want that bill to go there on Thursday.
Right.
But just I want to make a distinction here between if you or I declare bankruptcy, it's somewhat of a fresh start because they're not going to put us in debtor's prison to a certain extent. But if it's United Airlines, what they're going to say to the people who, say, Citigroup owes United Airlines a lot of money, right? They're going to say, give us some more money.
Don't you mean the other way around?
Well, right, but United owes Citigroup. What they're going to say to Citigroup is, you might not get paid on that, or you're going to get paid something cents on the dollar. Lend us some more dough, but now, by the way, you're the new shareholders. You now get the stock in the new company, so you at least get, a call on this thing. But the old shareholders, they're out. So the group
A people who lent all the money are out with virtually nothing or a lot.
Well, I'm talking about the owners. The owners are surely out. Mm-hmm. Stockholders. The group A shareholders, you know, you got $100 million you owe these guys. Guess what? It's now 60. And by the way, we want you to lend us another 20, but now you own the stock, right?
Yes.
So you know, a lot of those guys in General Motors and other places essentially ended up whole, or maybe more than whole. The government sure did. Right?
Yes, yeah.
But in the state of the case of the state, there are no, quote, owners.
Well, right. That's true, and the bankruptcy is a little bit different because you're not selling widgets, you're not selling cars, you're not developing things that you can have a tangible asset to sell and make money. The revenue stream from municipalities are their taxes and their fees from their constituents.
But if I also
that's
think
your turnip.
Right, but I also think what would happen is if there was the ability, the bankruptcy judge would say, it's real interesting that you guys have in this constitution that all your retirees get all this money. Guess what? You idiots can't afford it. That's coming down. Or we're gonna, mm-hmm. or what they would do, and this is what's scary, Brennan, and I sometimes, you know, as you know, I would not want to do this. It's not my personality. The way you would have to deal with this, given what people's attitudes are, is you would have to pick, and again, I'm not hoping we ever have to do something like this, but I would pick the, there's about 15 different things on your tax bill, right? I would pick the Maddie Weber's mosquito abatement district and say, oh, God, these guys are broke. They're declaring bankruptcy. Now, they're not the state of Illinois. They're not the city of Chicago. They're the mosquito abatement district. And I think they probably could. Again, I'm not the lawyer. You are. And there's 30 people that work there, and there's the obligatory 40 people that are getting paid a pension, which is that's the ratio in some of these areas, which is pretty crappy. So what you're going to do is you're going to say, the judge is going to say, we're going to kick those people, just like if it's you know, some steel company. This is how onerous these people are, Brennan. If a steel company says to you, we're going to offer you early retirement at 60, and they pay you for 5 years, and all of a sudden, as part of the bankruptcy thing, your pensions go to the, what's the name of the outfit in the federal government that guarantees the pension, the pension guarantee and something corp?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the acronym is for that. It's escaping me right now, but I know what you're talking about. It's a guaranteed pension program.
But those guys, I think their pension is like $1,500 a month or thereabouts. And if you got paid before you were 65, they want the money back. So you would have to get a group, since your teachers and your police and fire don't want to negotiate this at all. They just say, screw you, it's in the Constitution. I think you would have to take a group, hopefully there'd only be a few people. You'd have to absolutely, you know, denote them and say, look, here's where you are. You were getting $5,000 a month. That's not good enough. Here it is, $1,300. By the way, you owe me for the last 4 years. I would never want to do that to any human being. Yet, somehow or another, these other groups don't get the difference between what they're getting and what the fallback position would be.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, somebody's got to see the light here.
Well, okay, but see, there's a legal difference between corporate bankruptcy or individual bankruptcy and municipal bankruptcy. And the courts, even the Illinois Supreme Court, has been clear that their reading of the Constitution of Illinois means that you cannot diminish the pension programs or the pension benefits to anybody who's already in the system.
All right, and in a federal bankruptcy court, Brennan, and you're the attorney, but I'm just arguing with you, the federal bankruptcy court is going to say, the Supreme Court in Illinois is under the same pension system. Screw you guys. This is going to a federal court.
But right now they're not. But right now they're not, and that's the protection for them right now. And
right.
You're right. When you go back to the idea of general obligations, the idea is that the municipalities and the state have the ability to raise taxes and will raise taxes to pay their debts. That's kind of a given. And they're also supposed to have a balanced budget every year. So the situation where there's 6 months or 9 months or 2 years in arrears and paying their bills for services rendered and products rendered has never come into the equation in theory. That they're all, every year they're supposed to have a balanced budget and they're supposed to pay their debts when due, and therefore the pension is sacrosanct. And remember, the idea, the reason why the pension pledge is in the U.S. or the Illinois Constitution is because this same scenario happened back in the 30s and the 40s, where Illinois and other municipalities denied pensions to their workers. So when the Constitutional Convention was held in 1970, the union leaders said, we'll go along with some of the stuff that you want in the Constitution. However, you have to protect us. And so all the legislators that we support will not support the constitutional, the new constitution, unless you protect us, the union workers, who are our state officials.
But it's morphed into not the teacher who works his or her fanny off for 30 years there and gets a salary or a pension that is clearly within the bounds that make sense. It's not about them. It's about the person in the suburban area because they don't pay it like in Chicago. Where the last year they used to be able to take their sick leave and crap like that to where their final year.
They'll double or quadruple their pension program. But even with that, the other thing that's not sustainable is, as you mentioned, the lower age for retirees. Having somebody retire at 55 with a lifetime of pension benefits coming, and being able to go to a second career, and in some cases even going back to a second career where they worked and were in the pension program but are now going back in a different capacity, or going from one level of government to another government and having a new pension program start. That's one of the problems. But the other really big thing is the COLA provision, that what has happened is there's an automatic increase in the pension across the board of 3% a year, or inflation. If the inflation rate is higher, it's more than 3%, but even if inflation is at 2% or 1% or flat, there's still a guaranteed 3% boost in pension every year. That is also not sustainable.
Well, the first thing I would do as a judge, and again, this is not my personality, so I don't want to be a judge. If the highest paid teacher makes, pick a number, 100 grand, so 85% of that is 85 grand. Anybody whose pension's over 85 grand, I'm cutting it back to 85 grand. I don't care what game you played, whether you got paid the last week or decided to coach the last year or what you did. 85% of the highest paid teacher there is today, nobody's getting more than that as a pension. How could you? Without a scam happening. Might have been a legal scam. And by the way, if you work 20 years for the county and now you're trying to put in 20 years for the state, I'm sorry, it's one pension, like you just said. So anybody who's over whatever the higher averages salaries are, and it's probably more than 100 if you're a lawyer working someplace or something, but let's use the term 100. Say if that's the 90th percentile salary in the state, then guess what? Anybody over 85, I'm taking a look at it. And if there's any scam there, your next check is 85. Or next year. If you don't like it, I'll lump it.
Well, it's not a question of liking it or lump it right now. If you're talking about pensions in the civil service arena at the state or the city or the county level, that can't happen under the Constitution.
Right, I understand.
The Supreme Court has been clear, the Illinois Supreme Court has been clear on that, and it will not go up to the U.S. Supreme Court because it's purely a state matter. So the Illinois Supreme Court is the final arbiter of that.
Yeah, but
and they have said that that's irrefutable.
The Illinois Supreme Court on this subject is a board composed of five wolves and one hen deciding what we're going to have for dinner.
Okay. And it ain't wolf.
What?
It's not a wolf.
I take the point, but the fact is that they may be the wolves deciding who gets which piece of the hen for dinner, but they're the ones who are making the decision.
I understand
and
that.
And have made it.
I'm saying, but once you get out of... That's why if it got into a federal bankruptcy court, the Supreme Court would not be... That's why when you talk about... Well, we'll read this back to sports. Why do you think, Matty, you know this, why do you think the Los Angeles Dodgers deal was jammed through with that amount of money to pay those people off? The old owners of the Dodgers, or the family, the couple who was fighting, Matty, what the hell was their name?
The McCourts.
Why do you suppose that all of a sudden that franchise went for that incredible amount of money, Brennan?
Okay, but again, we're confusing.
No, I'm saying is what happened is Major League Baseball wanted no part of their underwear getting in the U.S. bankruptcy court.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave those people an unconscionable amount of money. And as payback, they told the Los Angeles Dodgers that with their new cable bill, which they managed to screw up because Comcast didn't get on it for a while, they said they could keep like all of that money for a few years to get the new owners that money back that they overpaid and not have to split it with the rest of the league. Isn't that the
okay, question? But we're starting from a false premise here because the Illinois pension program will not get into federal bankruptcy court. It cannot right now.
Right now.
So that's a non-starter on the argument.
Except for,
and
well,
the
except the whole day.
It has already said it can't change.
Except the...
The only way to change, the way to change it would have to be through a constitutional amendment. And here's where I think you really need to go. When J.B. Pritzker and the legislatures are saying, we want the citizens of Illinois to vote on whether or not there's going to be a graduated income tax or keep it a flat tax, also a constitutional provision, but they won't allow people to vote on the pension program to say, should we modify this provision of the Constitution, and we'll abide by it either way, then that's they're willing to do one because they need the money. They're not willing to do the other, which potentially limits spending.
All right.
And that's, I think, where there's a big hiccup.
Okay, well, except where there is absolutely no debate on that between you and me, except that would be the intelligent man's way to do it. We're not going to do
that. It would be a courageous statement by the legislators.
Right, but that we're not going to do that. We all know that. We've got our Supreme Court decision that's on our side, so the city and state workers are not going to do that. So what we're going
to
end up...
I would be willing to place a donut on the fact that it would be more likely that the constitutional provision gets up for a vote before there's bankruptcy of municipalities around the state, the country.
I would say that, it's 15 seconds worth here, I will say that what we'll end up doing is the state will go broke. Somebody like McConnell will say, yes, you can go into the bankruptcy court. The bankruptcy court tells the U.S. Supreme Court or the state Supreme Court to go pound sand. That's where we'll end up the way we're heading, which I don't want it to see, but I don't see these guys having any shred of common sense.
Well, that's true. And a lot of what you're talking about with McConnell enforcing the states or allowing the states to go into bankruptcy is really be careful what you wish for, because the results of that, I think, would be much more disastrous than what he thinks it would be.
I don't disagree. Brendan, thank you very much, buddy. I might need you back later in the week. Who knows? All this crazy stuff going on. But enjoy yourself up in Michigan. SP Futures up 35. Thanks. NASDAQ Futures up 101. We'll be right back. Joel O'Connor.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 192. We figured out that we got a lot of money in the system, and the Fed bought up the bond market, so nobody wants to invest there. So here we are coming to stocks. Dow futures up 329 over in Europe. We've got DAX up 177, 1.7%. FTSE up 87, 1.5. CAC around up 65, 1.5. So bullish all over the place. UK over down 12. Call that flat. Shanghai down 5. Call that flat. Hang Seng, however, up 295, 1.2%. They're the only ones moving over there. Bonds, 0.65%, which has been, like, pretty much every day. One minus 0.45, that's not moving either. Japan, however, minus 0.04, so that's a little leakage on that side. Oil, again, $11, another $1.56. We're having so much trouble in this June contract as we're having in the May so far. Brent up 4 cents, natural gas down 2 cents at $1.79, RBOB 67 cents. We've got gold is up 29 cents, we'll call that flat. Silver down 3 cents, call that flat. Hey, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a very good start here on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Looks like no issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy right now. Same with Lakeshore Drive in both directions. Eisenhower, Stevenson, all quiet. Southside Expressway is looking good. Only accident we have actually is out in the western part of the Eisenhower on the outbound side at Addison Road out in the western suburbs. So not affecting the inbound commute into downtown on the Eisenhower, but on the outbound side at Addison Road, way out west on I-290, there is a crash, and that's causing a bit of delays. There's also an exit ramp closed due to flooding on the outbound side of the Eisenhower at Lake Street. So not sure if that's
doesn't
related.
Have to rain for it to be flooding?
Well, it rained all day yesterday, or all afternoon anyway.
Yep.
And I think it was a little bit worse out in the west suburbs. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, sunshine early, mild temperatures, and then more rain comes in later on today. We'll reach a high of 71, a bit cooler by the lake. And then we'll have showers, as mentioned. Right now it's clear and 54 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 102 today. Right now it's clear and 71. In sports, the Blackhawks made big and surprising news, Chief, yesterday, firing President John McDonough, who, of course, took over in 2007, completely revamped the franchise, turned it around, won 3 Stanley Cups, began the whole Winter Classic, and won all kinds of awards for one of the most exemplary performances in the history of turning around a sports franchise from a business perspective. Blackhawks have sold out 530-some consecutive games, and he was fired. So
why do we even think, what do you think they're going on there?
I don't know. We'll learn more about it, I'm sure, as the week goes on. But some sort of disagreement between him and Rocky Wirtz, and McDonough was gone. So there you go, Chief.
I don't... Well, I sure don't get that. I don't. Joel, how are you, bud?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
I'm hanging. I just it was somewhat surprising to me. Well, not surprising when the Fed put in 6 weeks more money than the entire GDP in 1980. And you have people that are on, you know, every financial show saying there's a disconnect with the market and the economy, and you see this market now racing up every day. I'm astounded by, I mean, you can't go near a bond. The Fed has bought the bond markets up, basically. I mean, you can't go near a muni bond. Nobody wants to buy those things. I mean, and yet you have a few stocks, I guess, still paying dividends, and there's we're just pouring money all over the place. I mean, what is, do we think we're solving something here, or what?
The market is anticipating, you know, a lightning recovery, that these stores are going to reopen, that people are going to return to the stores in the same fashion that they were before. The spending habits are not going to be curbed, and that is what the market's factoring in. And colleges are going to reopen in September, and there's going to be no disruption to the U.S. economy or the global economy. Also, they're discounting the fact that there's going to be a second wave of the virus.
Doesn't it strike you somewhat odd that if you go back really to 68... every time the Fed does this, to some extent, and every time they realize they've gone too far and pulled back, and the market relates the other way, don't you think when you see it's almost every single time a Fed... not that companies aren't worth more than they were in the 60s. I get that part. But the market would do that on its own. Don't you think even most people could kind of realize that it's the Fed doing what they're doing, and then it's 48 swinging idiots on TV trying to try and fill the market background into what the Fed just did?
Once again, Chief, you know, you're saying things that, you know, are hard to refute. The fact of the matter is, you know, what are politicians worried about right now, coming up in November? They're worried about getting reelected, and yep, they want their constituents to feel that they're safe and they're being taken care of and the economy's fine. So you're not getting any pushback, you know, from people on the Hill, because they want to, you know, they want to move their reelection efforts forward. So there's no resistance. And as far as the talking heads on TV, you know, I see some that, you know, throw some caution in. But most of them, as you know, sold out in early January and then bought in March. So, you know, it's kind of hard, just like the people on Twitter that don't make any bad moves. I think that's what, you know, when people get on TV in front of a large audience, I think you see a lot of the same thing.
But I think, Joel, we kind of get the fact that I'm looking at this debt clock here, and your debt per taxpayer to the U.S. government is $199,465. All right, so they send you a check for $1,200. Now it's $200,645. Does anybody think we gain anything?
I mean, the way those checks were set out and indiscriminately, and some of that, you know, I know some people that personally got them. I don't know where the organization of that came from. I don't know where, you know, it just, I think that there was a lot of money that went to people that certainly didn't need the money, and people that need the money, in dire circumstances, didn't get the money. So, you know, a lot of people are just probably going to take that and throw it in their account and not do anything with it. So, that's going to go down as one of the most ridiculous maneuvers, by the Fed. But, Chief, we talk about these things, and, you know, it's, you know, what I've learned from my years in the market. You can have these thoughts and everything. You can have opinions, but really the only opinion matters is what the market's doing and the prices that are in front of you. So, I definitely lightened up in January, very comfortable with my positions. I did not think of adding any long-term positions. We were down at 2,200. And, you know, I'm happy with the lot that I have now. I just can't see chasing the market at this point. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe go to 3,300, 3,400, 3,500. But I think to think that this is over with and everything is just going to return to normal, you know, I may be wrong, but I think that there's a false perception out there.
Well, you might get, is every time this happens, I mean, you go back to the, well, in my lifetime, the first one I wasn't involved in, but was observing, was the Resolution Trust, and we've had a couple since then.
Yeah.
And yes, the quote economy, the big numbers generally return. Okay, even with this COVID thing, will return, but there's still a hot dog stand there, but it's not Joel's hot dog stand anymore. It's Amazon's hot dog stand or somebody, you know, because Joel is toast. But the interesting part about this, I never was one who wanted to scramble for what I'll term my piece of the federal largesse, because guess what? I've never gotten any my entire lifetime. Yet what they're doing to the currency, actually that's a misstatement, because I did get age-dependent children when I was a kid. My dad died. So I got something from Social Security that essentially paid for my Notre Dame education. So I will at least admit that, where most people won't. But this idea right now, if you are a small business and the Fed is doing this to your currency, and I'm not talking about going down versus the yen, going down versus something else, just plain going down versus every other asset on earth. Okay, because you can't create wealth by printing money. That's something I will take to my dying day. But the point being is, these guys, if everybody else got this cash and you didn't, you put yourself in a very relatively bad position, I think, Joel. In other words, if there's 15 saloons in a neighborhood and 14 of them got a $50,000 check to pay their bartenders and stuff till the end of June, and it's going to be forgiven, and you didn't, shame on you. Not because anybody deserved it, but it's coming to the point now where it's become a relative game, which is not what the world should be, but it's becoming that here. So everybody else in your industry got 50G for new TVs and everything else, and you didn't. I think you hurt your people. Just saying.
I'm not in a position to get that, right? I'm an independent contractor, and my wife's practice is in the process of getting to it. There's always been have and have nots. This is just a little different of a scenario. But for me, I don't, just the kind of person that I am, the way I look at things, I mean, the business has got it, I say good for them, and I hope it's enough to sustain them through this period. I just think if they're using this money to restructure their business, figure out how to get, less people in a restaurant, figure out how to safely feed people, I'm all for it. But I can't have regret, because I didn't get something that someone else did.
I agree. And I'm just saying right now, the federal government is picking the winners and losers. And somewhere along the line,
they're picking? I think they're just throwing stuff against the wall to see if it sticks.
Well, they clearly picked winners and losers in these downturns. If the Joel and Chief's blue jeans store would be shut down, and yet Target is selling blue jeans out to be hanged. Right?
That's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, we'll see what the companies do with this money, but that can't make the people return to the stores and have the same spending habits.
I would agree.
You get them open and you can do things. The bottom line is, what happens when they return.
All right, yes or no question, and we got to let you go. Will there be Michigan football?
Will it be Michigan football, or will it be Michigan football with me in the stadium?
In the stadium.
With me in there?
Yeah.
I would say no.
I hope you're wrong, buddy. Talk to you next week. SP Futures bye-bye. Up 33.75, NASDAQ Futures up 94. Let Mr. Kenny Polk carry you after the break.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, Innovation and Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Welcome back, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tamal. It's Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Kenny Pulcari with us. SP Futures up 35. NASDAQ Futures up 96. Kenny, how are you on this fine Tuesday with the market up yet again?
I'm good. The market keeps surging higher, and you got to scratch your head and say, what am I missing in this conversation?
I'll tell you what you're missing, my friend. You're not on the same page here that I am.
I guess what it really tells you is that you can't fight the Fed. Because they're going to continue to do, as will the ECB, as will the Bank of Japan, as they said yesterday, that all these central banks are going to continue to pump money and stimulus and, you know, try to protect the economy. At some point, though, my sense is it's not going to end very nicely.
I don't think they say they're protecting the economy. They're protecting rich people's stocks. I'm not rich people because I have a lot of clients that aren't rich. I'm going to throw a couple at you here, Kenny, and you, please, you have to, even if I do this, you have to call back next week. The Fed has put more money into the system in the last 6 weeks than the total GDP in 1980.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, they bought up essentially the bond market. I'm going to say that all of this run up in the market has nothing to do with any value. Guess what the 3-month money supply, M2, what do you think it's up?
That's your baby. I don't pay attention to that as much, but you always do. So
21%. 21%. So one of the most amazing identities in all of economics is the money supply times the velocity is equal to the price of everything plus the value of everything. Right? That's
right.
So if the GDP is down, the real GDP, and the money supply is up 21%. Where do you think that leaves what we're going to see a price level at some point here? And right now, it's pounding its way into stocks. I mean, we've already got, we had Brendan on earlier saying municipal bonds are to a point where no regular customer will ever buy them. You're not going to get an insurance right. company to buy a bond at 1% when they're paying people 3.
Right.
So what exactly are we doing here? I mean, I could see this number being 7 or 8, but 20?
Yeah. Well, it's really out of control. And the fact is, though, that, and we're going to hear tomorrow from the Fed, right, because today starts that two-day meeting. Yeah. Now, I don't suspect we're going to hear anything more from the Fed other than what we already know, and the fact that they will sit there and they will tell us they have plenty of tools in the toolbox, and they can continue to support, and they can continue to, you know, blunt the blow of the recession, or what's going to be the recession. And that's only going to, in my mind, fuel the market to go higher. Look what's happening today, right? We busted up and through 2850 yesterday on the S&P, which had been a level of resistance which you tried two or three times to get through and failed. And then finally yesterday, we blasted right through it, ended right up way on the other side. So now 2850 becomes at least short-term support. And now we've got 3,000 in your headlights, because that's really the next level of resistance. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days as we're in the throes of earnings season. This week is the biggest week of earnings at all. We've got a lot of tech names coming out. We had Caterpillar, Triple M already this morning, and lots of macro data that's coming out. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the market and investors and the algos interpret all of this.
Well, I started out as a joke. I was hoping a joke about 6 weeks ago, likening what was happening here to the Weimar Republic, and now it's not a joke.
No, but, right. I agree with you. I mean, at some point, this whole thing is going to spin out of control. When that is, you know, by now, I honestly would have thought that we would have started to see, after the decade-long stimulus packages that we had since the crisis, at some point you would have started to see inflation rear its ugly head and all that. But look, in the collapse in oil, that's deflationary, so that's going to take the pressure off any inflation at the moment. But when it hits, I think, like you said, it's going to hit hard.
Well, it's hitting in bond prices. Down. It's hitting in bond prices. It's hitting in muni prices. It's hitting in stock prices. I mean, and it is maintaining other stuff. But, it's odd, Kenny. I was telling Joel, I never was big on getting stuff from government, although, again, I did get, my dad died, we did get age-dependent children. It's the only time I've ever gotten anything, right? But the way they're pouring this money out there right now, I honestly believe, and I've never once given people basically crap about not getting something for the government, but a couple of people I know that are, like, in the saloon business,
yeah.
I said, you don't understand what these people are doing with the dollar and where the inflation is going to come down here. If you don't apply for your 40 grand and all the other bars do, you're going to be out of business.
Well,
you need to do it just to stay even, because the world is changing in front of you. Your lease is going to be double 2 years from now. The taxes are going to be something you don't even want to see. So if you don't get this cash, you're going to put yourself out of business.
Right, but you see what the problem is, too, and I think they started to address that the other day when they announced this whole program. Everybody signed up for it immediately when they ran out of cash, in 3 or 4 days, whatever it was. But money was going to places that it should never have gone to, and I'd love to know who was sitting there in the driver's seat making the decision to hand Harvard $9 million and to hand Yale $7.5 million and Stanford $8 million and Shake Shack, whatever they gave Shake Shack, all this money. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, it's the small business owner that's getting crushed. It's the local business guy that needs the help. It's not Harvard. It's not Yale. It's not Stanford. It's not any of that other crap that's going on. And so now they came out, the government came out as they launched their second funding, saying that, you know, you can have the money, but because, you know, you could have just applied for it without really proving that you needed it, which is why it went through so fast. Now, you can have the money, and if you keep the money, you know, you're going to have to prove to us that you have no other sources available to you, is why you took this money, which is now why you're starting to see people reconsider in giving that money back. Some of them were shamed into it, like Harvard, I believe, was shamed into it. It was a $30 billion endowment. They want to take $90
Yeah, I don't see how I don't see those guys got it. But the way the thing first came out, Kenny, you're interesting what you're seeing right now, because, by the way, on this show, you and I, I don't know if you remember this, had a conversation probably 6 weeks ago, and we said that what the federal government is assuming, and all the states are assuming, they're coming out with these plans, and they're assuming that things are going to be somewhat back to normal by the 1st of May. Every governor is running around saying extend this 30 days, and all of a sudden you're seeing this huge pushback on that. because this money is not enough. But just, we don't have much time here, but I would say the Shake Shack, the deal was, now Shake Shack still got leases to pay and everything else. Yep. The original deal was, and again, I think the banks just gave the money real quick to the people that owed them. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm saying Shake Shack, the deal, I don't really begrudge them that much, Kenny, because the deal was you send your people home, they can't work, you keep paying them. And then
right.
if you keep paying them between now and June, essentially 3 months, we'll pick up the tab for that pay, is really what
right.
the federal government said. And why should Shake Shack not get that deal if everybody else can?
Well, listen, Shake Shack can get the deal, but what the government is now saying is you have to prove to us that this was your last resort. You had no other way to pay these people to keep them employed. You had no other access to capital to allow you to keep these people employed. So I just think that it was hastily done, which I get because it was a crisis. But I think in retrospect now, you know, so listen, every time you turn around, it's the little guy that says, I can't get any money.
But if
I know people that said they applied to small local businesses, they said they when they applied, they'd run out of money, and there's still no light at the end of the tunnel on if they're going to get any.
Well, they were slow, a little bit.
They were slow, yep. They
but
were
now,
slow.
Well, let me ask you this. Again, the last thing I want to do, Kenny, is ever take up for Shake Shack. But if the Kenny Polcari Bank in South Boston, I'm sure there is one, Polcari Bank, if Shake Shack walks into you and says, hey, I need a loan for 90 days, why? Well, I want to pay my people. By the way, the stores are all closed. You're going to look at the guy saying, get the hell out of here. You're not going to get my loan.
I agree. I mean, we could talk about this all day, but I don't know the finances of Shake Shack well enough to know whether or not it was the right or wrong thing to do. I get the whole concept and I do understand it. When it happens, I get it, but you can't understand when it happens to places like Harvard.
Oh, God,
what the hell was Harvard even doing in there?
Well, who had the stones at Harvard to even make the application?
It's beyond me. And who made the decision to say, oh, wow, look at this Harvard application. Let's give them $9 million. I mean, who's thinking, who's in the driver's seat there?
I can't imagine. Kenny Polcari is the president of Harvard saying, see if we can get some of this money meant for other people. I can't imagine you saying that. But somebody did. They obviously made the application.
And they got it.
Yeah.
And they got it.
Well, you know what they say, Kenny, the squeaky wheel, you know.
Yep, that's what they say. Anyway, listen.
All right, take care of yourself.
I think the market, you know, clearly is poised to go higher again this morning. I think part of that is feeding on the fuel after yesterday's kind of explosive rallies up and through resistance. And so now we're going to play in this, you know, this 2850, 3000 range, unless we get hit with another event out of left field, which at the moment I don't necessarily see coming unless it is a resurgence of this virus once we start to open. Because I think the rest of it's mostly discounted. The bad numbers, the economic numbers, the lack of guidance. I think the investors are comfortable enough with that because they realize that. But I don't think what they're comfortable with is if we get hit with that. I really don't think that they're comfortable if we get hit with a second surge.
The only thing I see, Kenny, stopping this somewhere in the next 3 months, a CPI number of about 1.5% for a month. Which I could easily see happening, even with oil.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
S&P futures up 37.50. NASDAQ futures up 100. Come back. We'll have Mr. Jeff Joseph from Luckbox.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Blown up by Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tomowski, just from Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph from Luck Box Magazine with us as well. SP Futures up 36. NASDAQ Futures up 96. Individual stocks of note. 3M net earnings are up 585. They're up 6 yesterday. So they're up like 11-12% in 2 days. I mean, that's normal. What the hell? Home Depot up 324. We got Goldman Sachs up 493. Jeff, how are you, bud? We're talking normal.
I'm good. How about yourself?
Normal, normal. We're fine. Everything's cool.
Yeah, normal. Just, right, not new normal, normal.
Oh, well, yeah. It's you know, it's not every day in our lifetime that the Fed puts more money in the system in 6 weeks than the GDP of 1980, but they've done it.
Yeah, how about it? Think about that.
And they wonder why there was a guy just on CNBC, I was listening on a break, and he goes, they've bought out the bond market. Of course, he goes, of course the stock market's going up. It has nothing to do with value.
That's true. That's right. Completely artificially inflated.
20% money supply growth.
At least oil is trading in positive territory.
What?
So.
Yeah, 20% money supply growth. Jeff, what do you think of that? That's a number.
Yeah, it's a big number.
I mean, you would think that the Fed just as, well, I'm going to show my age here. The Fed's job, because of the way our system is here, I'll be real brief with this, Jeff, unless you talk, not me. The Fed's job, because we have a money system to where essentially money is made in not made or shall we say declines basically within the system. And what I'll say this is, you know, Jeff's a big shot. So if Jeff drops $1 million in the bank and the bank lends out $500,000 to Matty Weber for his new hot dog stand, right, how much money is there now? There's now $1.5 million because Jeff still has his million and Matty still has his $500,000. They're both sitting there in the bank. They both can take it out at any time. Okay, so you have When business is going good and people are borrowing, money supply wants to expand on its own. And when things aren't so good, and Maddie says, well, the hot dog stand, screw it, here's your $500,000 back, or worse, here's $400,000 back, money supply can contract. So the Fed attempts to keep the liquidity in such a way where it grows as fast or slightly faster than the economy. And you never want to be in a position where you detract from liquidity where there's enough out of the system where if a guy would want to get a good loan for a good reason can't get it, or you don't want it the other way, you don't want too much to create inflation. So when you have your GDP going down because of everybody's not working, and the money supply flying up, you know what? I don't care what the new computers tell you, Jeff. That's inflationary, and it may not go to oil, which it's not, but it's sure going to the market.
Yeah, well, it has to be inflationary by any definition. It's just at the same time, it's hard to make an argument that it's not a necessary response right now in so many ways.
Well,
all rules are off. You can't. But you're right, you know, historically a 4 or 5% increase in money supply would be a material thing. You know, this is the first money supply growth in 6 months, right? It's been
they've never ducked under. They've maintained a 5 to 9% money supply growth in a flat economy for 9 years. And for people to think that they're
in 5 to 6 being typically more, you know, well, I mean, usually at the lower end.
It should be 4 because we're growing at 2. It should be just over what you're growing. Well, anything else is inflationary. Well, what's the point? Why? I mean, whatever. But again, what?
Well, the big question will be what? So all eyes on GDP is coming out of this. That certainly is going to be the biggest question. It's too early. These earnings reports that are occurring now, they're not going to be indicative of much, you know, because. Well, we had a couple pharmaceutical companies today, and you know, one of the two, I forget, Pfizer or Merck, actually maintained forward guidance.
Pfizer's up 87
into the next
cents.
Year, but the other said we can't even do that anymore. There's just going to be no forward guidance. So, I think there's going to be a lot of uncertainty, lack of transparency on you know GDP earning visibility, GDP visibility and earnings visibility going forward for. You know, for quite a bit.
Well, are you going to trust, not that I'm on a rant about government here this morning, but are you going to trust the GDP when they come out and say it's even, by the way, our price deflator is 1% when you know it's 7?
Yeah, well, I think the first interesting test of GDP accuracy is going to be what comes out of China. You know, because speaking of trusting numbers, we're not going to be able to trust those numbers, but you know their GDP has been slowly but steadily declining over the last 3-4 quarters. You know, they'd always been 6%, like 6.3, 6.5, and slowly ticking down a decimal, you know, a tenth of a percent here and there. And this looks clearly to be the first time that they'll have GDP growth will be definitely under 6%.
Well, they said
it should be materially so, considering the extent of the lockdowns that they had in industrial centers.
I think, Jeff, last month they said it was below zero, first time ever.
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be, but they haven't reported a final number yet, so this will be really interesting to see what the next big lie they put out to the world is going to be.
It is kind of a continual stream, is there? Isn't there? By the way, speaking of lies, you think this guy in North Korea is alive?
Boy, who knows? I mean, the one argument that you can make that he is alive is that somehow South Korea continues to say that he is. Now, I don't know why they would say that, but the South Korean president's been on a unity track for some time, and is trying to be a little complacent or conciliatory about North Korea in some degrees because he has this vision of unity for the Korean Peninsula as a whole, and maybe he's just trying to take a soft position there so as not to embarrass the North Korean government, because if he isn't alive, whoever, you know, if the sister comes out on top of that or whatever, then, you know, that's who he's going to be working with next. But there's his absence at two material events, one of them being a national holiday, the other one being an economic event, that economic / military event that he would typically be present at, is really a worrisome sign. So I think it's probably an even money thing. You know, if he's not alive, he's certainly on the ropes. It's not that he's healthy sitting somewhere in
the
Catskills.
The one thing he missed was the 50-year thing to his grandfather, right, which he never misses.
Yeah.
Well, so it's either the handicapping, by the way, you should know this. Are you guys betting on this?
Well, it's a market. There aren't death pools in the prediction markets, at least not on predictit.org. But there was a market that, unfortunately, I was not able to take advantage of, and that was the Trump-Kim meeting. Will it occur in 2020? It was still trading as at a 20% probability, meaning the no's were 80 cents. So there was a good margin there, but that immediately got wiped away.
All right, I'm just asking as a potential player, yeah, if Trump goes to the funerals at a meeting.
It's so funny. That's on the comment boards right now. That very, very question.
I don't think I'd be alone if that's a meeting or not.
No,
what do you think, man?
It doesn't appear to be a meeting. A meeting would be one that was a scheduled meeting between two parties.
Ah.
So technically he falls out. I think speaking to the prediction markets, and what we're talking about is predictit.org, which is a platform for economic and political events that you can wager real money. And I'm active on that platform and actually have a podcast on that topic that we do. And one of the most interesting markets on that right now is Joe Biden becoming the Democratic nominee. It'd been sitting, oddly enough, at around 85 cents. And these are prices, binary options, so anywhere between, zero and a dollar, right? And if your market closes, it in your favor, it's at a dollar. If it goes against you, it's a zero. But you can trade anywhere in between that. Biden's been sitting at 85 cents for some time now, and people be wondering, oh, that's easy money for 85 cents. You make a sure 15 cents, because of course Biden's going to be the nominee. But there wasn't a lot of certainty, after Sanders and Cuomo had been kind of a whisper candidate for a little bit, although I think that's been somewhat quashed. But in the last 48 hours, this Tara Reid allegation, sexual harassment, against a former staffer, has really taken a toll on him, and Biden has dropped materially, maybe 7 or 8 cents as a result of that. So there's people out there that think this is a real problem for him, and that's become that, and of course, who the vice presidential candidate will be, have become the most actively traded prediction market.
Is Michelle Obama on the board? Is Michelle Obama on the board?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, she is. She is on both. She trades for about 2 or 3 cents as a presidential candidate, and she trades for 6 cents as a vice presidential candidate.
I'm saying she's a buy at a vice presidential candidate.
What's that?
She's a buy at 6 cents.
Yeah, well, I would buy the no there at 94 cents. I don't. Considering the size of the home that they just bought out in Kennebunkport, I just don't see her taking that position.
They ever sell a place on the south side or not?
I'm sorry, say again.
They ever sell her shack on the south side?
No, I don't believe so. No, I think they still have that home. I think, in fact, someone asked me a question that came up in conversation, and I don't know the status. What's the status of the library in Chicago, Obama Library?
I think they're still fighting. I mean, the status in Chicago is fighting, I think. Maybe why don't you look that up?
Hold on to that property.
Is that
anticipating?
Is that an official status? Fighting.
Fighting. Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, I have a interesting question regarding that thing with North Korea. What I've heard, and you seem more up on this than me because you're on that thing. The sister's a possibility. Didn't some cousin show up from out of nowhere that he forgot to kill? And the third, and the third one is the Chinese just taking him over.
Yeah. Well, I think that would. It's time for the Chinese. They certainly have, geopolitical expansion ideas, and that's what their Belt Road Initiative, Belt and Road Initiative, is all about, where they expect to spend between $3 to $4 trillion.
That's why I asked you, because you know more about this than me.
Acquiring the balance sheets essentially of neighboring countries. But I think that'd be a hard one.
I don't mean military. Just the thing that we'll back one of you. But by the way, we'll help you guys get electricity and this, that, and the other thing. We'll become a favored
sure,
whatever you are.
Sure. As an economic rescue package in exchange for some vital strategic interest, that's how they do business. Yes.
Well, that's what I mean. I see it as a serious possibility, especially
yes.
if the cousin is actually fighting the daughter or the sister. And one of them has got to sign up with somebody.
Right. So I'll jump back to politics for a second. Sure. Who would be your vice presidential pick if you had to? It sounds like Michelle Obama. I think
the Democrats.
And of course, that's a hell of a payout. You know, 6 cents to pay a dollar.
The Democrats are totally sold on this. It's going to have to be a woman. It's going to have to be black.
That's why Kamala Harris is in the first position, trading at about 30 cents today. I have no's on her. I do not think she's a, because I don't think he forgot their exchange during the debates on a national stage, Biden. And secondly, he doesn't need the state of California, and she's not that popular, and she could always be an AG pick. But she does check those two boxes of being a African American woman. But there's some other minority candidates that then Stacey Abrams is in the high single digits, and Catherine Masto Cortez, who's a Nevada senator that took Harry Reid's spot.
Yeah,
she's trading in the high single digits, and she's actually on the whisper list. Actually, Tammy Duckworth is trading around 4 cents.
This is not. It's not a shout out against women or minorities whatsoever, but every one of these parties now is form over substance. I mean, you could be Solomon right now, but because you're an old white guy, you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. But on the pigment side, Klobuchar is in second at about 21 cents right now. And I think she's
a
front runner. My bet would be on her.
Yeah, I would think she's pretty bright.
In terms of a long shot, it would be on Masto Cortez out of Nevada.
I think the one you talked about, Amy, is the smartest one. I like her the best. But
at Klobuchar,
yeah.
She's the most sensible because I think the calculation at this point is going to be. Yeah, I'm old, and yes, I might be selecting a future president as my vice president, and I'm going to give you a pick that doesn't just kind of check some boxes, you know, in terms of what you just referred to, but also somebody who can step in to the position from being a heartbeat away from the presidency if they have to. And, you know, Klobuchar's shown, at least as a senior senator and being on senatorial committees, and she's shown some leadership, and I think she would be the most stabilizing pick, I think, in terms of trying to mitigate his age exposure.
I don't think Tammy Duckworth, I like her. I don't know if she's got the experience.
Yeah.
Well, clearly with the vet background and everything, it's a big plus.
Yeah, you know, vet, woman, color, you know, she's got... checks a lot of boxes.
Well, I tell you what, I'm telling you, you know more better than me, but I was stunned at a lot of the people who ran, some of the people, both Republican and Democrat, the females who ran and won in the House, how many of them are vets? I mean, it's a strong group. I mean, the younger people in the
that's
House.
True.
That's why, you know, it's funny, I don't know, Jeff, maybe because I talk to people like you all the time. I blame you guys. It's funny, whenever somebody rants and raves about no turnover in the House, I have the absolute opposite opinion of that. I think an awful lot of young, really good people go there, are there for a couple of years and can't stand it and leave. We don't want those people leaving. I mean, I think it's almost exactly, the five old codgers that you probably don't want there, that have overstepped whatever, you wonder if they've overstepped even their own mentality. I think there's more turnover among the younger people, and I think we've lost some very, very talented younger people on both sides, just because if you're the last guy in right now or a lady in, I don't think you have anything to do. I think it's a waste of time. And I think they see that and they leave, and I think that really sucks. It's just a different, maybe it's just I'm always doing a different view, but I made a mistake. Well, I was invited to one of those APAC things. Did you ever go to those things? Did you ever go to one of those?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure I'd find it intriguing. So what
it is very, well, like? They are probably the, I'm going to say not the best, but one of the best lobbying firms there is.
sure.
firms, yeah. organizations, yeah. and where they will take it. One guy's up there and he goes, hey, you heard a part about people in Congress and every state's forever? He goes, that's total BS. He didn't say that. He goes, there's people, he goes, there's never been more turnover in the first two, three, four terms in the House than there is now. He goes, there's a great place in Illinois where they've had four new people in the last four elections. Because we know, because we take every one of them to Israel and pay for it. He says, and a lot of these people are as smart as you can ever find. They're amazingly talented. And after 2 years, 4 years, they go, I don't even care what my point of view is. I'm out of here. Because it's really horrible. But, you know, you go anywhere, even if you don't want to go there, you learn stuff. And he goes, you know, there's people that come here. I mean, what's the senator from Illinois, Fitzgerald? I thought he was a pretty right. bright guy. He went there, and after 6 years, he couldn't wait to get out of there.
Sure.
You know, the junior senator, what do I do? Nobody cares about me. I mean, right. I go here to try and do some stuff, and, you know, I got to be here 25 years to get on a committee. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, I don't know that it's a functioning thing, and we're losing a lot of people rather than the other way around. Just saying. But there's always two sides to every story. Because all you ever see on TV are the McConnells and the Pelosis, and you say, what are they still doing there? Right? Basically.
Right. That's why AOC has been such a kind of a breakthrough representative, you know, regardless of her political positions. She certainly has made a lot of noise and has lots of visibility. Of course, being a darling of the media has a lot to do with that. They select their own heroes. But she certainly stands out in the fashion that she's young and has a voice.
And she's cute.
You know, that much can't be denied.
Well, but she's the female Newt Gingrich, and he did it another way. Mm-hmm. When Newt got in there, and most of the time when people give a speech in the House, there's nobody there, right?
Right.
So what Newt figured out is when C-SPAN, is C-SPAN still on?
Yes.
I haven't watched that in 40 years. When C-SPAN first came on, and it actually has the House all day long, right? I mean, and the Senate, so if any,
sure.
So if you're the last bump on the table and you walk up and give a speech, you're essentially on national TV. Well, Newt was the first guy to figure out, I can be on national TV if I give a speech every day, even though there's nobody else at the place. And that's how he became a national name, by giving speeches with nobody there, so he was on C-SPAN every day, or every week, or whatever it was. And it was genius on his part. Now, AOC is just, it's a different world, but she's been a genius in terms of
Social media,
where right. she's attractive, she says wild stuff, which causes every other idiot in the world to respond to her. So all of a sudden, there's, you know, a million messages on one thing she says, whether it's smart or not. And of course, then when somebody throws her on there, is she going to beat what's her name? You know, who's running against her.
Boy, that's a really interesting contest, only because the Democratic establishment still has problems with AOC and would probably be putting money on the other side of that. So that would be a real interesting contest against, you know, young versus old.
Well, no, she's running against, I think she's running as a Republican, as the lady from CNBC, Michelle Caruso Cabrera.
Cabrero?
Yeah, Michelle Caruso Cabrera.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, the first question is how much support she's going to get from the Democratic, DNC, because that seems to be an internal question. I heard that they're going to try to make her work for her seat.
I'm going to go out on a limb, Jeff, and this is real old news. When I helped, Nancy Irish name, anyway, she was running for state treasurer. And I backed her campaign. I was on we had a group that actually put together a pamphlet. You know, a 100-page pamphlet on what she was going to do as treasurer. And Nancy Sheehan, and she ran, and I was, you know, pretty tight with the group. I don't know much about politics, but I was learning. And the Democratic Party has no money. Totally different than the Republican Party. Republican people will, again, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but if Jeff Joseph is a Republican, until Trump came along anyway, there were certain Republican things that everybody agreed with. They were somewhat anti-abortion, plus and minus in there, some people. You were, you know, for, uh, let, you know, uh, not necessarily a balanced budget, but some soberness in spending. There was things Republicans were for. And pretty much anywhere down the line, you know, that was the Republican mind. There was four or five things that you could say Republicans were for. So Jeff Joseph would be, you know, not estranged from sending a check to the Republican National Committee. Nobody ever does that for the Democrats. If you are running for them, they expect you to kick money back to them. It's a totally different brand of ball. Because Nancy Drushin, she had the three names. Her last, they thought she was going to win. This is when the Dawn Clark netched the whole Democratic Party lost. They had her ahead the last weekend. And they talked her into giving the 20 grand she had to spend for the last weekend to other people because they were getting trounced because they thought she was a shoo-in. And she ended up losing by, you know, 500 votes or something. So, because they totally misread the polls and she coughed up her money for somebody else. So they didn't, they were taking money from her. So when Hillary ran and got all this largesse, shall we say, from the committee, it didn't surprise me at all because the committee's broke. What she did is said, I'm going to give you some of the money I've raised to put you guys back on your feet. So it didn't surprise me at all that the committee, you know, begged, borrowed, and stealed and cheated to get her ahead of Bernie because he didn't give him a dime. Bernie wasn't even a Democrat, for God's sake. So it's not surprising that Hillary got the better shift, right? So when you say AOC is not going to get, it's not like the Republican group. They're not going to give her any money anyway. They don't have any.
That's true.
So I mean, it's I don't know. A lot has changed obviously since you know Nancy ran. It was a long time ago. I still don't think people send checks to the Democratic National Committee. If Barack Obama is running and he's a good-looking black guy, you're going to get a lot of money coming your way that you're not going to get if you or I run it, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And so it just, I don't know why they don't, that's why their systems basically suck compared to the Republicans, right? Their databases and things like that, that's why they're so easy to hack. I mean, tell me where I'm wrong here.
Well, I think Tom Perez has come under a lot of criticism by the Democratic establishment and by, you know, the progressive wing of the party. So I think it'd be a real question to see if he even survives this year. If he's still on top going into the election. They have an issue right now. The Democratic issue with Joe Biden. Well, first of all, we're 6 months out in front of an election and he's completely silent. And they're really wrestling with, you know, what do we do, right? Trump's getting all this free media every day, but you know they can sit back and say, "Yeah, but it's not doing him any good."
He's stepping on his
foot every
day.
The more he talks, the more you know. It's a platform for his narcissism and the self praise that he heaps on himself. And you know, at first they were saying, "Well, do we do our own daily briefings?" But they knew that would appear very disruptive and would appear to be undermining, you know, national interests if Democratic Party or Joe Biden had its own briefings. So they've made the decision to sit back and just let Trump dig himself a deeper hole, which, you know, isn't a bad decision. I mean, because he's certainly capable of doing that and does it on a daily basis. But it's still 6 months before an election, and he hasn't, and Biden's been really quiet, and now he's going to stay underground a little bit longer because this Tara Reid issue is a real issue. You know, yesterday a couple things came out. You know, the CNN thing now, that came out about 3 days ago, whereas her mother called in during the dates in question into a live CNN show. Most people have seen that tape now. Of course, CNN has taken that episode off its website. CNN hasn't reported on this story still to any material degree. I think the most criminal indictment of the media came this past weekend. I watch all the Sunday show religiously and tape the ones that overlap so I can watch them as well. And of course, this subject of a credible, you know, I'm not saying it's true, but a credible allegation, certainly far more credible than the Kavanaugh accusations because you have corroborating witnesses from that same period, and Blasey Ford had no corroborating witnesses. And now you have the mother calling in on Larry King the next day saying, my daughter was, abused by a senatorial candidate. What do I do? Right? And then her neighbor back at the time who's a hardcore Democrat, said, yeah, she told me about it right when it happened, and I'm still going to vote for Biden, but I believe she's telling the truth. And then, and two other people. So whereas, wouldn't you make the comparison with, and it's being made frequently, the Kavanaugh comparison, where the media was all over this, and the New York Times issues a statement basically saying, well, we covered Kavanaugh more aggressively because he was in the national spotlight, you know, which is ironic because Joe Biden is the Democratic presumptive nominee for presidency. It's hard to imagine a bigger spotlight. So the media has been very complicit, very silent about, you know, what
push,
are,
Jeff, let's push this after break,
credible
buddy.
Allegations, and he's got to, and he's staying underground. And
let's
try to come.
Let's push this after break. There's more to this. Obviously, it's interesting. SP Futures now up 39. NASDAQ Futures up 88. We now have 3M up 7. So 3M's up, I'm going to say 10, 12, 14%. It doesn't matter. It could be worth 500, 1,000. What's the difference? What's the money really worth? We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right
here, right now, right now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Jeff Joseph from Luckbox Magazine. We have SP Futures now up 40. NASDAQ Futures up 92. We're to the moon here. 3M's up $7. Net earnings, even though they're up $6 yesterday. We have Pfizer's up 86 cents. They actually gave forward guidance, and they're going to make some money over off some of the testing kits, and a lot of some of these companies are. We've got Home Depot up 380. We've got Goldman Sachs up $5. We've got Boeing up 2. Every stock in the Dow, except for Merck, who had earnings, is down 2. And Johnson & Johnson's down 69 cents. So those are the only two in the whole Dow that are down. Dow's up 381. The rest of the world, we've got, as soon as I can get that on here, as soon as I can, there we go. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 178, 1.6%, FTSE up 104, 1.7%, CAC round up 81, 1.8%. So bullish across the board over there. Europe, Asia, tame in a couple of spots. Nikkei down 12, call that flat. Shanghai down 5, call that flat. Hang Seng up 295, it's 1.2%. Man, just of a review, yesterday we were up 358, we're up 41 on the S&P, NASDAQ up 95. So the futures are like exactly where we finished yesterday on the second day. Bonds, 10-year, 0.64%, 1 minus 0.46, band minus 0.04. They were above ground by just a hair, like maybe a week ago. Oil continuing to collapse in the June contract, down 144 to 1134 again. Sirius Cantango, if you go out a year, it's over $30. Brent up 14 cents, 2013. Natural gas up 5 cents to 187, which is actually as high as it's been in a while. Arbob up 2 cents to 66 cents. We've got gold down 70 cents, and we got silver unchanged. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash on the outbound Eisenhower just before Mill Road. That's causing some delays. Old Post Office to Wolf is 24 minutes. To Route 390 is up to 36 minutes. So that's our only delayed expressway right now, is heading outbound on I-290. No issues on the inbound side. North side expressways are looking good. Light traffic all around. Same for the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford on the south side are all quiet. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions. So we're off to a great start there. Only other area issue of note is we have a crash up north on Oakton and Caldwell off the expressways. Weather today, lots of sunshine early, mild temperatures, and then more rain moves in this afternoon, similar to yesterday. We'll reach a high of 71, cooler by the lake, with some showers this afternoon. Right now it is mostly sunny and 55 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny and hot today with a high of 102. Right now it's clear and 72. In sports, the Blackhawks sent shockwaves over the sports world yesterday, firing longtime president John McDonough. After 13 years as president of the team, he presided over turning around not only their fortunes on the ice, winning 3 Stanley Cups in his tenure, but in the stadium as well. They were averaging just over 12,000 fans a game when he took over. They've now sold out 531 straight games and average over 22,000 fans a game during his tenure. But he is out after 13 years as president of the team.
Chief. Yeah, you're talking about the family that one of their best coaches won the Stanley Cup for. He didn't, but he had some of the best years as Billy Ray, and they slipped the firing notice underneath his door on New Year's, on Christmas Eve.
Yikes. The Wirtz family?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just saying. Jeff, I'm going to lob one at you here, because you are my... See, the unfortunate thing is you're not an attorney, because sometimes with your level-headedness, you sound like one, but...
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to say, with the Biden-Kavanaugh thing...
I'm waiting for a contrarian view on that, so...
Well, the contrarian view is... We've almost... Where's Lou when I need him? We've almost gotten comfortable with the sexual escapades and lying and things out of that office. I mean, clearly, I wouldn't accuse Obama or Bush of that, but clearly with 3 out of the last, well, counting Biden as a candidate, if he were to win, 3 out of the last 5 are absolute sexual malanderers or God knows what, right? I mean, the idea is, how bad can you excoriate the guy when he's running against Trump?
Mm-hmm.
But now, for a Supreme Court guy, now that is a horse of a different color, as my mother used to say, in my mind, because, first of all, you have a very almost dictatorial minority of the country, okay, which I consider the Republican minority in the Senate, or majority, to be an abomination to anything that is... It's our system, so I don't want to change it or anything, but it's an abomination to anything that democracy ought to be. I mean, the Republican senators in there represent way less people than the Democratic senators by a factor of what? 3? 2? So, it's a lifetime deal. So to me, if you were to ask most people in this country, your last bastion of decency and honor, where it ought to be, most people would say the Supreme Court, I would think. So there's a huge difference.
It's a good argument, and I would add something else to that argument, which you left off, which is presidents are elected, Supreme Court justices are appointed, and the public doesn't have any word in that say. So and I think that would be the most compelling argument for additional scrutiny. But my indictment there, but that's the only thing I think I can say in favor of that, because here's the other side of the story. You're not comparing apples and oranges there. You know, when you compare the the current philandering of, you know, presidents while in office versus a kid in college 30 years ago at a party that something supposedly happened, but no one can corroborate. Nobody. And then between that, 30 years of impeccable public service, impeccable, and surviving five or six different FBI background checks. Everyone knows it was a political hit job. At this point, the only people that would still think Kavanaugh were guilty would be of the mindset was innocent, the killer Nicole Ritt. What's his name now? I'm forgetting, our football player.
OJ.
Oh, yeah.
OJ, right. Yeah. So if you think Kavanaugh was guilty of something, you think OJ was innocent. You're strictly a partisan, ignoring everything. There was a political hit job and everybody knew it. But your point that one is appointed and one is elected, that's true. So I would agree with that as to why they would come under scrutiny.
One is appointed as a huge minority right now.
What I would indict here is not the question of guilt or innocence. I think everybody knows, you know, that he was of a character that was worthy of a Supreme Court, and it was just about politics. Unless you're really, because if you're really going to look back at people's high school and college days, even though there's no proof that anything that was said was true, then, you know, nobody's a candidate for anything.
Jeff, I would have.
But I think what's far more important is how the media has approached this. You have two stories, one where there's corroborating evidence, one where there's zero corroborating evidence, like none whatsoever. In fact, her best friend denied the story, said it wasn't true. And then you have completely different media approaches.
I don't disagree.
Completely different. And that's what this is. It's an indictment of the media and their hypocrisy and the Democratic Party and their hypocrisy with respect to the Me Too movement, and I'd like to hear an explanation for that. I'd like to hear somebody make the case for why that is not just a blatant hypocrisy that's exposed
I'll try and push back a little bit. Jeff, why is it when two people are late for a meeting, one guy gets fired and the other guy doesn't? It has to do with timing and personality. I'm going to say the Kavanaugh thing hit me on several different fronts, all right? And it had nothing to do with what was being reported. But it's a lifestyle that he came up in an area. I mean, the idea of me keeping or anybody I've ever known, keeping their calendar from their parties in college and still having a thing. I mean, I didn't have any parties to go to on the beach or whatever. If I did, I was playing basketball and a couple beers after with my buddies. I mean, it was an idea of these parties they had in these places that nobody ever gets arrested for. For God's sake, didn't Bobby Kennedy's kid die at one of them? I mean, we're talking about a group of people in this society that you and I, maybe you, have never been a part of, never really appreciated, never wanted to be a part of. They are the elite. And this guy landed in there, and he managed to work his way up through Congress and a bunch of appointed jobs into all these places. Not saying he didn't turn out to be a pretty good guy, and his record is impeccable, but I don't want everybody who's on the SEC Commission, the FDIC, or the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and my Supreme Court to just be people that wandered their way through the elites from this clerk position, that clerk position, and pretty soon they got this job. They've never been out in society like you and me. They don't know the people you and I know. I mean, it had nothing to do for me, the sexual part. I just didn't want anybody of that, or maybe one guy, but certainly not several out of the nine, being from that pristine group. I don't care if one guy's on the CFTC commission that's like that. I don't want six of them.
So because remember, those weren't calendars of his parties.
Yeah, they were.
They were daily calendars that covered an 8-year period that was showed the discipline. God, I got a 17-year-old boy. If he was keeping a daily diary over 8 years, I'd be thrilled of his discipline and that organization skill. That to me would be such a you know, tremendous achievement for a kid to show that kind of commitment and discipline.
I think there was something wrong with it.
Do anything on a daily basis.
I think there was something wrong with it.
It wasn't about parties. The parties weren't on it. So I'm not even sure I understand that point. But then would you say because of your aversion to having someone who's an elite, and I, you know, that's a, and I share the aversion that you have against the elite, that you, that you destroy what was a 30, 40 year impeccable, as you said,
I didn't say that.
Career.
I never said that.
Just to keep them off of a Supreme Court seat that they've spent a lifetime earning.
I didn't say that. What I'm saying
is fabricated, you know, complaint that also takes down his family and his
standing
and puts an asterisk by his name forever for something that was
completely
fabricated. It's a hard trade off.
What I thought I said was.
Because, you know, you don't want some prep school kid ending up on the Supreme Court.
What I thought I said was, is you, in this media of today, the guys are getting good at this. And by the way, if I ever was in a position, I'd want somebody like you by my side. That's why they put
right there, Chief.
And that's why they put stories out on Friday night. They don't catch fire.
Sure.
You know, and I mean, somehow or another, and I can't define. I wish I could, Jeff. My entire lifetime of this business, certainly since I've been doing the show, I couldn't tell you which one of these things is going to catch fire and which wouldn't. I don't know why his all of a sudden caught fire. I mean, to me, you're right. There's not that much there where it shouldn't or where it did, but it did. It's not just the media. Sometimes they try and push something and they clunk, and sometimes they don't. They try and bury something under the rug and it flies. I mean, I don't know. I mean, why Gary Hart has got one girl in an afternoon and the guy's out of politics for the rest of his life, and Bill Clinton didn't bother him at all. You know,
I think it was the name of the boat with Gary Hart, wasn't
it? Might have been.
What was the name of the boat?
But look, I mean, I think one of the most brilliant people in our era, I think, is the guy from the New York governor that got tossed. What was his name? He went up against the New York Stock Exchange and
Elliot
Spitzer.
Yeah,
and
Gary Hart's boat was Monkey Business.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
yes.
And Elliot Spitzer.
Monkey yet, business, thank you. Right.
And yet, here's guys that they taped the guy's phone for no reason until they caught him. I mean, they were obviously so afraid that this guy was going to be a traitor to his class at the next level that somehow or another, we talk about the FBI doing bad crap. What did they tape that poor guy for? They taped him as a governor because he took money out of his account, his own account.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this. And look at the fire that caught. That guy couldn't run for dog catcher. Name me a more talented guy that you've ever heard of in politics.
Yeah. Well, that's the story of the day.
Yeah, yeah, we're not
allegations. You know, or the news that's come out on the Flynn investigation.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'll withhold a little bit on this because there's not a clear picture on this. But if the news releases over the last couple of days is that he was completely targeted with fabricated testimony and, you know, an inside hit job within the FBI, then how damning is that? Here's a guy, you know, military service, lifetime in military service. I've never been a big fan, and I don't care who is it, but it goes back to Martha Stewart. This lying to the FBI thing is such a bullshit. That's always annoyed me. But here's a guy who had to sell his home, lose everything. Again, another impeccable career. And it turns out that it looks like he's going to be fully exonerated.
Well, the only thing about him, again, and I have this, I get this idea where people get to the point where they're, and maybe it bothers me because I never was in this group. If I grew up that way, maybe I wouldn't feel that way, Jeff. But here's a guy who's a general, right? Wasn't he the general? He's a general, correct?
I was a country club kid, but it's
no, but I'm saying
I was a caddy.
Yeah, well, me too. I was a caddy too at Ridge Country Club of all places.
Yeah, it's one way in.
But now Flynn was a general, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now Lou's been on the show and says when you get your pension, like as a general at that level, somewhere written into that pension is that you're not supposed to do any kind of quote general consulting, whatever the hell that is, for other countries. I mean, because
then let that be the charge that he's brought up.
Don't disagree. But I'm saying here's the guy. Given speeches in Russia, sitting at Putin's table. I mean, don't these people, I mean, at some point, where's the morals of these guys? I mean, what happens to him afterward, I guess I'm not going to say all him, you know, I don't care what happens, though I do. I still want the process. But it's not like this guy didn't figure out, hey, the money's between countries, not in either one. I mean, this whole entourage of these people that do this damage between Ukraine, and what was the other guy's name? that was working for the guy. This whole, I mean, I knew some guy from there from the trading floor, and I couldn't stand the guy, Jeff. He was one of these guys. He was a citizen of Morocco, not Morocco, where Grace Kelly died, Monaco.
Monaco.
And he was this international, telling people how to get money back and forth across countries without paying taxes and this thing. Hey, you know what, Jeff? Screw these people.
I mean, yes, but let those be the charges, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Not some trumped up internal thing, which, again, strictly political.
I thought this was great. But I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
There's no reason for him to go down to go down for this without. Well, he's going to be exonerated. So that's a great market over predicted.
Wow.
So they have clemency markets, which is will Trump grant clemency to? And the three you can bet on are Manafort, Flynn, and Stone. Those are the three clemency markets.
Really?
And will they be granted clemency? I think by February 1st. Which means if Trump lost the election, he could still grant clemency to these people after he loses the election, which was, that would be a high likelihood event in my mind, and those are and they're paying good odds right now too, The interesting one is the Flynn one has dropped because now it looks like he won't be in a position to be granted clemency because these charges are probably going to be dropped.
Anytime you start working between countries like this, it seems like you drop your respect for anybody's law, and you become this amoral. I mean, I Manafort.
So are you talking about Joe Biden right now?
The kid, they know where to. Oh, absolutely, they know.
Sure.
Jeff, you've been on before. I'll tell you what.
Chow, Mitch McConnell's wife.
Absolutely,
she is. Just as dirty.
Jeff, if you and I were the two-headed monster in the Oval Office, and we had a day where there wasn't a crisis, which I don't know if you ever even get, I would get some people in there, both sides of the aisle, and say, hey, look, whenever we give $500 million to somebody for hospitals or whatever, it seems to me that $200 million of them get stolen by somebody, and out of that $190 are people from here. Be it Joe Biden's kid. You know what? We're going to put a special prosecutor on this, and we're going to trace 10 of these for the last 15 years, and I don't care if it's your wife or your kid, they're going to jail. And we're stopping this stuff. But we don't. They're all over this thing. Whenever there's money, it's got to be 15 people on the plane with the dough heading to Nicaragua or someplace, getting their finger in a pie. I mean, can we even attempt to stop it? I don't know. But clearly, the people who are in the know, I mean, who's the bigger crook, Joe Biden's kid or Trump's son-in-law? I mean, they know where the money is. That's where the dough is. For God's sake, Jeff, they just created $2 trillion in the last 3 weeks. I mean, would you rather be there or you and I talking here?
Yeah.
I mean,
no
it's
question.
Not, I mean, not even, what I mean,
well,
I...
Well, let's see if we can resolve another issue, though. Would you agree that there's a clear and present double standard with respect to how the media handled Kavanaugh and this Biden accuser?
Yes, I do think they're two separate jobs. Right now, I would be much more concerned, like you mentioned, for somebody who is appointed by a serious minority of the population for life versus a president who as long as everybody knows that he did it, somebody's got to figure out which is worse, what Biden did to this young lady or what Trump did to every girl he ever met. I mean, I don't know. What's the toss-up there? Neither one of them is running against the Pharaoh's wife, for God's sake, right? And at this point, we're starting to, I hate like hell to even say that we're talking about who's the most immoral and we're voting for him for president, but, I mean, that's where we are, right? I guess for a while, well, I don't want my Supreme Court people being the same way.
We're going to end up with somebody immoral. That's what that we have 100% certainty of.
Here's where I'll get you on this, and I know you. It's very rare I get you, by the way, but I'm going to get you on this. Would you ever put Trump or Biden on the Supreme Court?
No.
There you go. So there. The scrutiny should be a little higher. Not saying what they did to Kavanaugh is right, but just saying.
No, because I would say their 20 most recent years are a lot more meaningful to their character than their 35 years ago.
Yes.
No
doubt about that. Nobody could argue that.
Yes.
How long do you think if we open things up, that people demand to be 6 feet away from each other in a baseball game?
Yeah, I'm what I'm really focused on is on the restaurant industry right now, just because I have connections there and, you know, been speaking actively, including this weekend with more restaurant people about their plans, and boy, those are real challenges. At least the baseball games, you know, first of all, they've been dealing with declining attendance, and the fact of the matter is if they had one third less than, you know, the seating capacity, if they had one third or one fourth of seating capacity, that's still salvageable as a business season, you know, for them. Whereas no restaurant can survive on one third. It's traffic.
What do you think
the
happens?
Margins aren't there. You just can't do it. It's mathematically impossible to survive on one third of your covers for any restaurant in a given week.
Jeff, let's kick this off more next week. Because I wonder if you gave people a choice: 6 feet apart, double the prices, or sit by like everybody else. I wonder where they sit.
Like so smoking and not, I like that.
Inhumane, actually. So you're charging a premium for safety. That's awesome.
Well, that's the way the rent comes down, isn't it?
I guess so.
It's like the smoking and non-smoking section.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, except this has a Roman Coliseum aspect to it.
Jeff, thank you very much, buddy. SP Futures up 42, NASDAQ Futures up 96. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.